How many times does God, whenever I'm not being fruitful, by pruning back, he'll chasten me because he loves me? You ever think about that? That part of the pruning is chastening too, so that you can bring forth more fruit. He's always willing to work with us and with our lives.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're so glad to have you with us today for the conclusion of our True Salvation series, contemplating the symbolism of a vine with fruit-filled branches. Raul will encourage us to live out our faith in such a way that it's evident to everyone around us. As you allow the Lord to prune away old sinful habits and look to Jesus for purpose and strength, you can bless others with God's love. Today's lesson is simply titled, Abiding. Join us in John chapter 15. Here's Raul Reese.
He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Notice that. Every branch in me. Who's every branch? Every branch is from Jew to Gentile. That's you and me. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine, and his Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Notice what he's saying. He's giving you now the whole gospel. What a child of God's supposed to be like. Now, when he uses the word here in chapter 15, beginning with verse 2, every branch, notice, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, again, historically and culturally, because I'm not a farmer, but I've read on it, what they used to do is that usually when a vine would not give any longer fruit, the branches in the vine would be cut off and they would be thrown out. Now, something else they would do to the vine when he talks about pruning, because when the vine has to be trimmed or cut back, usually I've seen where sometimes the vine is cut back all the way like a stump. But in Israel, in that culture, they would not cut it back as a stump. They would take the vine and they would literally wash the leaves. That word to prune there in the Greek, it means to wash with water. That is, whenever a vine is having difficulty in bringing forth fruit, what does God do with the word of God? He washes us, just like he did. Husbands are to what? To wash their wives with the water of the word of God. You see? Cleansing it. Washing it. Here's the same word used here. But I found interesting here that he says, in every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He washes it. He cares for it. Why? So that it'll bring forth more fruit. You see? And so they would trim it very carefully, not to kill it. How many times does God, whenever I'm not being fruitful, by pruning back, he'll chasten me because he loves me? You ever think about that? That part of the pruning is chastening too, so that you can bring forth more fruit. He's always willing to work with us and with our lives. I love what he says in Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Turn for a second with me. Mark 12. He says in verse 1, then he began to speak to them in parables. Remember, to illustrate what? To illustrate something that he's trying to teach them. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a place for the wine vat and built a tower. And then he leased it to his vine dressers and went out into a far country. Now who's he talking about? He's talking about God lending out his vineyard to who? To the Jews. You see, he's going to give you the story here. And he went out into a far country. You know, he leaves. And now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and they beat him and they sent him away empty-handed. Who's that? He's talking about the disciples and the apostles and the prophets that came to the nation of Israel. And what did they do? They beat them and they killed them. Then he says again, he sent them another way and they threw stones and wounded him on the head and sent him away shamefully threatened or treated. And then again, he sent another and him they killed and many others beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them at last saying, they will respect my son. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Interesting, huh? Maybe they'll respect my son, verse 7. But those vine dressers, speaking of Israel, the Jews, said among themselves, hey, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Notice, and the inheritance will be ours. And so they took him and they killed him and they cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? Who's the owner? God the Father. You see? What do you think he's going to do? Because you killed his son. Watch this. He says, he will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Who's the others? The Gentiles. That's us. See in the parable? The Jews rejected Jesus. And guess what? Jesus gave us his love and his grace and his mercy for the last 1900 years. Here it is in the Gospel of Mark. And he gave the vineyard to others. Have you not even read what the scripture said? The stone which the builders rejected. Who's the stone? Jesus. Has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is a marvelous in our eyes. Imagine that. All the way through the scriptures, we have the vineyard and the vine dresser. And we have a whole thing on the nation of Israel and what they did. Go back now to John 15. Look again. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may be, what? Bear more fruit. You already are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Now here's the key. Abide in me and I in you. Why? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. There's the doctrine of abiding. What does the word abide mean? Well, literally in Greek, it means to stay, to dwell, to continue. And many times when you come to the passage on abiding, there are many times that people will say, well, what do you mean? Are you saying that if you're not abiding in Jesus Christ, you can be cut off? Well, remember, I didn't say it. Jesus will say it himself. Let me read a little further, then I'll come back and I'll explain to you. Verse 4 again. Abide in me and I in you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Notice, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we need Jesus. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Here it is. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. What does withering do? It means there's no more life. You see? There's no more life. So what happens? When that dries up, it's good for what? To burn in the fire. He's cut off. He's no longer connected to the what? To the vine, where life comes from. Look what he says. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So he's teaching the doctrine of abiding. Now, where does Calvary Chapel stand? Are we Arminian? Are we Calvinist? Or are we dispensationalist? What are we? Well, we believe. You have, for example, the two sides of the street. We say you have here what we call dispensationalists. They don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and many of them are Calvinists. Okay? Then you have on the other extreme those that are Pentecostal, and they're super Pentecostal, and they're super emotional people, and they trust more in experience than the Word of God. Now, where does Calvary Chapel stand? Well, we believe in the middle. Because we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we believe over here where they believe a lot on the knowledge and the teaching of the Word of God, but no Spirit, we believe also in the Spirit of God, and we believe that the Word of God is primary. It has to be. So we believe that the balance comes in the middle as we abide in Jesus Christ. That is, on this side, they believe you cannot lose your salvation. Now, on this side, they believe a little bit Arminianism, which means they don't believe in eternal security, but they believe that if you live a life of sin, you will go to hell as you've come to know Christ. But you're not abiding in Christ.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We'd like to take a moment and remind you that we're here to help you live a fruitful life for God as you abide in the riches of His Word. For resources, visit somebodylovesyou.com. You can also email Raul your Bible questions at pastorraul@somebodylovesyou.com. Well, let's continue now with more of our study from John chapter 15.
Let me give you the positions of Calvinism and then Arminia, what he believed. For example, in original sin. In original sin, Calvinist position is this: total depravity and guilt inherit from Adam. Arminia, weakness inherited from Adam. Human will in bondage to sin. Armenia, free to do spiritual good. The grace of God, Calvin. Common grace given to all, saving grace given only to the elect. Armenia, enabling grace given to all, saving grace given to those who believe, persevering grace given to those who obey the word of God. Predestination. Calvin, rooted in God's decrees. Armenia, rooted in God's foreknowledge. Regeneration, monergistic or syngistic. That is, again, by election, or then again, you can choose. Watch this. Atonement. Calvin, Christ's death, a substitutionary penal sacrifice. Armenia, Christ's death, a sacrifice that God benevolently accepts in place of a penalty. Extent of atonement, Calvin, extended only for the elect. Wow. Intended for all according to Arminia. Application of atonement by power of the Holy Spirit according to the will of God, Calvin, then Arminia, by power of the Holy Spirit in response to the will of the sinner. We have a will. We can choose. We can reject. I'll explain that in a moment. Again, ordo salutis, election by Calvin, election, predestination, union with Christ, calling, regeneration, faith, repentance, justification, sanctification, glorification. Armenia, calling, faith, repentance, regeneration, justification, perseverance, glorification. Perseverance with Calvin, perseverance of all the elect by the grace of God. Armenia, perseverance dependent on obedience to God. Now, how do we believe? Well, I believe just like Ezekiel. I believe just like the Word of God says. I believe that we have a will to choose. God, in 2 Peter 3:9 says what? That God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Salvation is for everyone that wants to come. I don't believe in the elect. Anybody that wants to come to Christ, all they have to do is admit to their sin, repent from their sin, and by faith accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and you can become regenerated and become a Christian. Now, once you become a Christian, the doctrine of abiding, now that I have the Holy Spirit and I've become a child of God, now what do? What about that scripture in John 10:28 that says, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Concerning what? Eternal security. Once I come to Christ, what happens? I live forever. No matter what I do, I'll still go to heaven. Wrong. We don't believe that. Ezekiel warned us. Ezekiel chapter 3, chapter 18, and chapter 33. And as you read the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, the book of Ephesians, Corinthians, and Peter, and even the book of Revelation. So when I come to Jesus Christ, I come because what? God convicted me, God called me, but I have a will to accept or to reject. That's why you can't force anybody. Nobody can be converted unless it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And once I am converted in Jesus Christ, I become the temple of the living God. And once I become the temple of the living God, God dwells in me. And what does Paul say? And what did Jesus say? He says, you as a believer can hinder the work of God in your life by grieving the Holy Spirit. How? Through sin. Sin separates. So let me give you a circumstance here. Let me give you a problem. You have a guy that's been in the Lord, let's say 5 years. And then he decides to go back into the world and go back to drugs, go back to drinking, and he dies a drunkard. Does he go to heaven or does he go to hell? Well, according to my Bible, he goes to hell. That's the doctrine of abiding. You say, wait a minute. That's hard to understand. Well, you can read it. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. I told you it's going to be a tough night. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. And now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Now, who is the house of Israel? God's people, right? Listen. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord from my mouth, and give them warning from me. He's talking to his people, not to the heathens. When I say to the wicked, he starts with the wicked first. Who's the wicked? Those that do not know God. Okay? Let's make sure we understand what he's saying. The wicked. You shall surely die, and you give him no warning to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood I will require at your hand. What is God saying to Ezekiel? Ezekiel, you have the responsibility to tell the wicked that if he doesn't change his ways, he's going to hell. And God gives that opportunity. Watch this. And if he goes to hell and you don't tell him, guess what? I'm holding you responsible because you have the truth of God. Watch what else he says. Verse 19. Yet, if you warn the wicked and he, notice he makes a choice, the will, and if he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And that word to die means eternal death in Hebrew. You can look it up with your own Hebrew concordance. Verse 20. Again, now watch this. When a righteous man, who's a righteous man? The one that believes in God. Here it is. When a righteous man turns from his righteousness, what do you mean? Turns. When he goes back to his old life. Okay? He goes back to his old life. Look what he says. When a righteous man turns from his righteousness, why? Because we're righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, you see, not by works. When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Wow. You know what that word die means there for the righteous man? Eternal death. Hell. Why? Because he didn't repent. He didn't turn back. You see? Watch this. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin but repents, he shall surely live, because you took warning also, you will also have delivered your soul. Interesting. You see? Now go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Talking to Christians again. Beginning with verse 3. First of all, remember, he's talking in the epistles to believers, not to non-believers. Watch what he says. But fornicators and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you, as it is fitting. And I want you to underline this, saints. Who's that? Christians. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, dirty jokes, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know. Now he says, now Christians, understand what I'm going to tell you. For this you know, that no fornicator. Who's a fornicator? One that is having sex before marriage. We get our word pornography in English, pornonias in the Greek. You see? Pretty heavy. Watch what he says. That no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Wow. What is he saying? Same thing Ezekiel said. And watch this, so you're not deceived. Verse 6, let no one deceive you in empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Hey, who's he talking about? Those that have disobeyed God. Abiding is obedience, not disobedience. That's the doctrine. We have to obey whatever God says in his word. If we cannot obey what God says in his word, then we become what? Children of disobedience. Just like these people. Remember what happened in the book of Corinthians in chapter 5? Where he said what? He said that there was a brother in the church with his mother-in-law, and they were having sex together. And Paul writes to Larry, he says, hey, you guys, I've heard that this guy is living with his mother-in-law, and he's coming to church, and you are not doing anything about it. That's not right. He says, that brother should be confronted, and if he doesn't want to repent, then you should kick him out of the church and turn him over to Satan, listen, for the destruction of the flesh, so that at the end he'll repent and his soul will be saved. It's always repentance at the end. Without repentance, no one will inherit the kingdom of God. You got to change. May God help us understand the word of God. And may we stand true to the word of God, not what men's theories are. But what does the Bible teach? That's the key.
Well, we certainly hope it's inspiring for you to think of yourself as a branch connected to the vine of Christ, bearing fruit that blesses those around you with the beauty of God's love. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson, Abiding, is available in its complete form for a donation of $5 or more. If you'd like to get a copy, just call us at 800-634-9165. Now, as you think about the richness of life with Jesus at the center, we'd like to tell you about this entire 15-part series titled True Salvation. It's available on both CD and flash drive. Every lesson underscores the Lord's goodness in sacrificing His Son so that you could live in abundance both now and for all eternity. You'll see that when you surrender to Christ and abide in His will, He can work through you to accomplish His perfect heavenly purposes. To order Rawls' 15-message True Salvation series, visit somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the CD set for $30, or if you'd like, the USB drive for just $20. That's 800-634-9165. You can also order this resource by writing to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese is fully listener-supported, and you're a great blessing to us. We're grateful for every tax-deductible gift that makes it possible for us to keep sharing God's Word. Well, thanks again for making us a part of your day today, and we invite you to join us next time as we begin an important new series detailing how to recognize and guard against false religious teachers attempting to draw you away from the gospel's timeless truths. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.